This is New Beginnings, hosted by award-winning broadcaster and speaker Freddie Bell. A program for and about America's 78 million baby boomers. Here's your host, Freddie Bell.
Hello again, everyone, and welcome back to New Beginnings. I'm Freddie Bell. Glad you're with us this weekend, as you are each weekend. It's a point at listening on this program, New Beginnings. And with us now is joining us is Joe McKenzie. He is our co-host on the program. He is the founder of Ripple Connects. He's here to talk about careers. He turns candidates into contenders. He's at 763-438-1621. Also at RippleConnects.com. Joe McKenzie, good morning and welcome back to New Beginnings.
Thank you, Freddie Bell. I'm glad to be here today.
It's a good thing to get together because we're talking about something about just connecting with people, enriching your professional network. And the key takeaway here is how do you enrich your personal network? Joe McKenzie, let's start there.
I'm going to approach this a little differently than a lot of people think when they think about their professional network. And that is through diversity of network nodes. Nodes meaning, okay, this could be the faith organization networking node. It could be your mentoring network node. It could be a civic group. It could be volunteering alumni association. And I didn't say once about, you know, your own work or your professional association. Those are the diversity of those nodes that are completely independent from your own career. That's how you enrich your professional network, is when you look outside your own industry, your own company, your own what you're doing, by adding those unique network nodes. And I know there's people of all ages hearing our voices today, Freddie. And I think everybody could benefit from having diverse and independent network nodes now in their career and as they transition into retirement, because the connection piece, the ability to have that purposeful life in your retirement all starts with different independent professional network nodes. Do you agree with that statement, Freddie? It's a strong statement, but do you agree with it?
It is a strong statement. And my question would then be, why is it important to maintain these professional relationships when you're no longer working in the workforce?
Well, we talked about this on New Beginnings, keeping that structure, keeping that connectivity, keeping that purpose. That is important for all human beings. And if we're trying to wonder where we're going to go after we say, no, I'm leaving the workforce, wouldn't it be advantageous for someone to say, you know, I really like the fact that I built out this civic-minded network node through a Rotary or Lions or what have you, or I really love mentoring students or individuals in their career, or I really like serving on a nonprofit board. If those are in place, if you have that infrastructure of your professional networking nodes in place before you retire, now you can pick and choose what time you have or where you want to focus on. Mm-hmm. You're not starting from a cold start going, well, what should I do now? You've already experienced some of that purpose, right? You have that structure if you choose to stay in that mentoring network node or that civic networking node. I belong to a Rotary Club, and many of the people that are members there are retired. But because we are part of a group that's fighting polio, we're fighting environmental issues, that is something that they continue to nurture, that civic network node. So, and the importance just from that purpose, that structure, that connectivity, that connectivity to something that's bigger than you, is a healthy way to approach retirement versus not having any of that.
Wow. So do you see where people who go into retirement, that they just completely cut themselves off from their professional contacts?
I've heard of that. I know of that. But I also saw my father, you know, father of 8, World War II veteran. He was a civil engineer for the railroad. But here he was over in this civic group, this senior group, this mentoring group, this give back group. He lived probably 30 plus years in his retirement years filled with purpose, structure, and just overall retirement happiness because he had it. And it had nothing to do with civil engineering. It had to do with all those other areas. And I think that's where I learned it. I watched him build this this diverse network out. I just didn't think that way when I was younger.
Mm-hmm.
But I can see how happy he was because he had that connection, that structure, that purpose in his life. And it had nothing to do with his career after retired. And he retired at a younger age, under the age of 60. And I was still young and at home watching this all unfold, but he kept busy.
And I think keeping busy, and also I read that you need relationships like this to keep your mind stimulated when you're into retirement, no matter what age it is that you retire.
That is correct. It's so key there's so many health benefits to just staying connected, being around others, being around a shared cause or purpose, or just keeping yourself sharp, engaged. There's a lot of benefits, health, from just physical, mental health, and just overall happiness. I mean, we've worked hard our whole lives. Let's still strive for that satisfaction and that connectivity with others. And I do think this diverse and independent network nodes serves everybody well in their careers for many of the things we've talked about with hidden job market or just changing careers or reinventing yourself. But don't lose those after you decide to exit the workforce. Maintain some of those network nodes for those reasons I've stated.
That's really interesting that your bench of advocates, those network nodes, can benefit you not only in employment, but in retirement. But what are some of the areas where we can zero in? Let's drill down just a little bit. Some areas where we can zero in and identify potential areas of connection or work or nodes.
Well, kind of building on what I talked about, what if it's reconnection with your university or college that you graduated from? That could be a whole separate network node that could lead to a mentoring or a teaching type of networking node or a give back with, any kind of foundation. But if you think about it from the volunteering, the nonprofit, professional association, civic, faith organizations that you can be involved in, even professional growth, Toastmasters, is an example of how you can sharpen your communication skills. That would, all those that I mentioned could be diverse and independent network nodes. But here's the thing, Freddie.
Mm-hmm.
They don't stay static. Like I said with the alumni, if you say, I reengaged with my alma mater and all of a sudden they wanted to have help with, sit on this community advisory board or work with students that were going into this field, new network nodes may appear from that initial network node at your alma mater. So nothing is ever static in this world. Imagine the possibilities, like you've always told me. Mm-hmm. But what if you approach your alumni association and you get involved? Who knows what stems from there? And I think any one of those areas I talked about, that possibility exists, that you could serve on a nonprofit board, that a whole new network node is an offshoot of that nonprofit or your volunteering or your faith or alumni. That map never just stays static, because if you work it, you get involved in it, you're passionate about it, you get involved, you never know what else comes about, and all of a sudden you just kind of follow that momentum out. And so it may look different in a couple of years, but I don't think there's anything wrong with that, because if that keeps you more engaged, more energized, more connected, why not, right?
Why not? And it's interesting. I think that, and I say this tongue in cheek, you have to be a little careful about some of the organizations or the faith organizations, professional associations with which you connect yourself, because I've talked to some people who are in my retirement circle, I call it. And there are a couple of these individuals who are saying that they're more busy now in retirement than they ever were when they were working, Joe McKenzie.
I've heard that. And yes, there's opportunities for you to pick and choose how much you want to work or volunteer or be engaged. But isn't that a wonderful thing where you can discern where you really want to be in those years that you've worked so hard to get to?
That is something. That is really good.
You have that opportunity now to do maybe something you've always wanted to do. And I do think it comes through these diverse network nodes, independent as they may be. But like my father, you know, the civil engineer, when he was involved in either the old Railroad Retirement Association or the Knights of Columbus or this seniors group over here or the golf community that he volunteered in, that I could see for 30 plus years the smile on his face because he knew so many people, but in different areas. And he lived that perfect retirement that I strive for and that I try to share, you know, these tidbits or this map of how to do it. Because often people, we work so hard to get to the finish line, Freddie, may not be even thinking about anything to do with our network nodes. And I hope that someone that hears me today says, I already have them. And most people already have them. It's just kind of getting that clarity to these diverse and independent network nodes that's going to help them move wherever they want to in their retirement years. And obviously in their careers, that goes without saying that helps you.
It really does. And Joe, you do some fine work at Ripple Connects.
Yes, we do. We turn candidates into contenders.
Our program continues right now.
If you're ready to reinvent, recalibrate, or retool your career, Ripple Connects can help. Visit RippleConnects.com. We work one-on-one with our clients in a safe, collaborative fashion designed to significantly improve the likelihood of landing the ideal engagement. Take control of your job search and create your ideal future. Engage with Ripple Connects, where we turn candidates into contenders. Go to RippleConnects.com.
You would do anything to protect the ones you love. Help make sure your child is protected from dangerous diseases by getting them vaccinated. Talk to your doctor or clinic today about the vaccines your child needs and the safety measures they have in place to protect your family during COVID-19. Go to health.mn.us/immunize for more. This message powered by the Minnesota Department of Health.
And now it's time for this week's Point of Focus.
I have a great time with my life, and I want to share it.
Nowadays, a lot of people think of positivity and optimism as something unrealistic, something almost delusional.
It teaches the cultivation of peace of mind as a power center out of which comes driving energy.
This is life and enterprise management.
I love living. I think that's infectious. It's something that you can't fake.
Have you ever felt stuck trying to break a habit or change a way of thinking? Positive habits is our point of focus. When you have great habits, you can break any thought or behavior pattern that holds you back. When you willingly release the patterns that cause you to feel stuck, great things start to happen in your life. You can break free of that limiting behavior, and then you're open to consider what's really true about you. In place of the bad behavior, infuse yourself with power, strength, and vitality. You're actually free to be all that you can be. Right now, all you have to do is choose positive habits and attitudes that support your well-being and the talents that you bring to the world. Good habits are a point of focus. I'm Freddie Bell. If you'd like to learn more, all you have to do is visit me at www.freddiebell.com or call 888-639-9738. Or you can reach me by email. It's freddie@freddiebell.com. freddie@freddiebell.com.
You're listening to New Beginnings.
New Beginnings with Freddie Bell.
Hello again, everyone, and welcome to New Beginnings. And with me right now is the Vaccine Outreach Director for the COVID-19 Vaccine Equity and Engagement Program for the Minnesota Department of Health, Elizabeth Ebalt. She is with us and becoming a regular fixture on our program. And welcome back, and I'm glad you're with us.
Thanks, Freddie. It's great to be back with you.
I just want to talk about a few things this weekend. And first of all, there's a new incentive program that is really encouraging people to get the shots in their arms. Can you outline that for us?
Yes, of course. We're so grateful to all the Minnesotans so far who've done their part to minimize the spread and severity of COVID-19 by getting vaccinated. As of Tuesday of this week, about almost 70% of people 16 and older It's about 3.2 million people, over 3.2 million people have received at least one dose. But we know the landscape of the virus is changing and there's more to do. So that's why at the start of the month, Governor Walz announced a new state program that rewards Minnesotans who get their first dose of a vaccine between July 30th and August 15th. You'll get a $100 Visa gift card. So eligibility is open to people 12 and older. It applies to a first dose of Pfizer or Moderna or a single dose of Johnson & Johnson. For more information and to claim your reward, you can visit mn.gov/COVID-19/100. I also want to note that to fill out the form, you have to be over 18. So for our minors out there, you will need a parent or guardian to fill out the form on your behalf. So far, Freddie, over 31,000 people have applied. So we're moving in the right direction. But I encourage all your listeners who have not yet been vaccinated to help us keep moving forward and take advantage of this great reward program.
So you answered my question. I was wondering if you're under 18, if you're still eligible for the $100 gift card.
You are. You're still eligible. 12 and up, you're eligible. We'll just need a parent or guardian. Like I mentioned, they'll put in their name, put in your name, your address as a minor, and that gift card will still come to you.
Everyone, we're talking with Elizabeth Ebolt. She is the Vaccine Outreach Director for the Minnesota Department of Health, working in the area of equity and engagement. And let's talk about the students for a little bit longer here, because there is a big Vax to School campaign going on right now. Sadly, for a lot of students who are listening and their parents, the summer is coming to a close. But we want to make sure that the students are healthy going back into the classrooms.
That's right. And you said exactly the main point. We need to make sure that the most important thing as we start the school year is a safe and healthy environment for kids to learn in person. And we know that the best protection for a safe school year are vaccinations. That's why at the end of last month, Department of Health, Department of Education here in Minnesota, we released updated guidance for K through 12 schools that help prioritize the health of students, teachers, staff to make sure we stay with in-person learning, since that's so much better for our students. So the guidance provides best practices. They're informed by the CDC's recommendation, and all of them work together with local schools to make their own decisions, of course, but to help ensure the health and safety of our students. We've also launched our overall Yes Vax to School effort to encourage students and parents to get fully vaccinated before the school year begins. We're partnering with educators statewide, with YMCAs, with youth ambassadors, and other trusted sources to help spread the word. As a reminder for your listeners, any students 12 and older can get vaccinated wherever a Pfizer vaccine is being administered. To find those locations by you, you can visit vaccines.gov. and filter by Pfizer. You can call your pediatrician to make an appointment, go to a local pharmacy, or you can go to the Mall of America, one of our community vaccination program sites, and get vaccinated there.
Would the vaccine connector also help into locating a place to get the vaccination in this regard as well?
So with our vaccine connector, we've actually phased out that tool in the way it was initially intended. But if you go to mn.gov/findmyvaccine, you'll be able to use our filter there to locate vaccines nearest to you.
All right. We're talking about vaccines this weekend, Vax to School, especially with our younger children. And we're looking at the news. We're watching it closely, and we see that more and more younger people are being impacted by COVID-19. What would you say to parents who are sitting on the fence right now about whether or not to get those children who are 12 and over vaccinated? And what would you also say to the parents who are saying, okay, when will the age limit be lowered so I can get my 5-year-olds, my 2-year-olds vaccinated?
Sure. You know, vaccination for every family, for every individual, it's a very personal decision. We know that and respect that so much. I think what is important to keep in mind is that this Delta variant, it's a different kind of disease. It's not the same COVID-19 that we were dealing with last year and into the start of this year. And while we did see children be able to fight off some of the more intense impacts of COVID-19 when it first came out, we are seeing an increased number of young people contracting this Delta variant and experiencing some long-term impacts that really affect their ability to sit in the classroom and learn, to play their sports. And so I again, respect the personal and individual decision of getting vaccinated. But in order to maintain, you know, the best in-person learning environment for our students, in order to help our teachers get back into the classroom to be the educators that they are, it's really important to encourage to get vaccinated as soon as you can, if you're eligible, if you're 12 and older. Now, for our even younger people out there, I know, I think that's top of mind for so many parents. When can my 2-year-old, 4-year-old get vaccinated? We know that the FDA is working in overdrive right now to try and approve Pfizer for our younger people. And I know Moderna is also in the works as well. I will say, you know, I think the projections that I've been hearing are certainly within a month or so. But I think it's basically as soon as possible. So they're basically in overdrive trying to make that happen.
Everyone, Elizabeth Ebolt with us this weekend. We're talking about vaccines and really focusing on children. How does it, what is the position of the Minnesota Department of Health when we see now that in some pockets mask mandates are back? Does it take some of the wind out of your sail to see how virulent this Delta virus is, with 83% of all new cases impacting impacting the United States? Businesses are delaying bringing their people back to the work, maybe waiting to the end of the year or even at the beginning of next year. Has all this work been for nothing, Elizabeth?
You know, Freddie, what we know during this entire pandemic is that there was always so much to learn. We have never experienced anything like this. What we do know is that when it comes to vaccinations, when we're looking at the rates of hospitalization and positive test cases, we are seeing that 99.9% of vaccinated people are not contracting COVID-19. So it's a hand-in-hand forward movement that at the same time that we continue to encourage testing, we continue to encourage masking up as the CDC guidelines show in certain areas, and we continue to encourage vaccinations because we know that as we are getting more people vaccinated, we are seeing less intensity of COVID-19 amongst that vaccinated population. We're not seeing those people on ventilators. We're not seeing those people hospitalized and dying. And so that really, I think when you're talking about keeping the wind in our sails, that comes from vaccinations.
What would your final thought for us this weekend?
Sure. Yes. I know there's a lot of news out there. I know that we are hearing something new every day, like you mentioned, about this Lambda variant that we don't yet know much about. It's not yet to the same level of concern as Delta has become, certainly. And so I know that over the last year, we've had a lot of ups and downs, and there's just been a lot of uncertainty. And so I would just encourage your listeners as parents and getting your kids going back to school, as students, getting your mind back to being in the classroom, as teachers, getting ready to train those young minds, that if you are eligible to get vaccinated, we strongly encourage you to do so. That is what's going to lead to making our students being safe, making sure we can maintain our small businesses being open, we can return to going to concerts, all of those things that we love. And so continue to consult your physicians, certainly seek out information through MDH and other trusted sources so we can all move forward together. I know we all are desperately in need of that.
She's the Vaccine Outreach Director for the COVID-19 Vaccine Equity and Engagement Program, Elizabeth Ebolt, and you're listening to New Beginnings.
The Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, SNAP, Minnesota Family Investment Program, MFIP, and WIC Nutrition, along with other available programs, can help you buy food while budgets are tight. SNAP, MFIP, and WIC benefits can help families access additional support as well, including health screenings, emergency assistance, nutrition education, and employment training. Apply online at applymn.dhs.mn.gov. This message is powered by the Minnesota Department of Health.
Introducing the New Beginnings podcast, featuring career, health, and financial information for people on the go. To get your fresh start, visit freddiebell.com/newbeginnings. check out the New Beginnings podcast today.
And now, our supporting partner, AARP in the Twin Cities.
Hello again, everyone, and welcome back to New Beginnings. And joining us right now is the Associate State Director of Advocacy for the AARP Minnesota, Mary Jo George. She's with us this week. And a couple of years ago, as I was just reminded, that we spoke about the assisted living licensure and several rights becoming effective August 2021. Back then, Mary Jo George, it seemed like a long way away, but right now, we're talking about impacting several thousand Minnesotans who live in assisted living. Good morning.
Yes, absolutely. As you said, the new law now is effective. Some parts of the law were effective prior to August 1st, 2021. But as of Sunday, August 1st, we will have new assisted living licensure laws that really provide sweeping changes to how we've regulated these facilities, and we believe will really improve the quality of care for residents in these facilities. So we wanted to let people know about some of the their rights within the new law.
So let's talk about them. As I understand it, there are a couple of major areas. One of them has to do with it talks about assisted living licensure. And then the residents or the rights of family and the residents themselves. Where would you like to start?
Well, let's start with licensure, because I think one of the things that was so frustrating when we realized that Minnesota was the only state in the nation that did not license these facilities. So in and of itself, providing licensure will provide much more oversight from the Department of Health regulators. You know, without this oversight, we saw a number of increases in reports of maltreatment and abuse and neglect. And so we're very hopeful that the new licensure will provide improved quality of care for residents. So, for example, the department will be inspecting these facilities much more frequently. In the past, it was every 3 years. Each of the facilities will have a licensed and trained assisted living director. We think that's really important. And also, the one accountable entity who is responsible for both housing and services. In the past, residents would sign two contracts and often not know who to go to if there was a problem or a complaint. So we believe the licensure in itself will improve the quality of care and also improve some of the staffing, which is really a key part to helping people in these facilities. I think one of the things that we believe is that the law is long overdue because it hadn't kept up with sort of the vulnerability of the population that are in these facilities. So there'll be better, stronger staffing requirements, including access to a registered nurse, which recognizes some of the high medical needs that some of these residents have in these facilities.
It's really interesting that the legislature was really concerned about prevention and elder abuse and so forth and the rights of residents. 60,000, as I understand it, Minnesotans are impacted. What about the protections against retaliation? What does that look like?
Well, that's really important. That's a very important one. I think what happened in the past is we had a lot of laws on the books, but there was just no enforcement of the laws. So if a family member or a resident would speak up about a quality care concern, sometimes they were retaliated against. So a facility might restrict access to visitors, or they might restrict access to certain services, or in some cases, they might just arbitrarily discharge the person if they speak up so much. Mm-hmm. So under the new law, if people are speaking up about quality care concerns, it will be enforced by the Department of Health. So if they have a complaint and they feel they've been retaliated against, the Commissioner of Health will be enforcing, taking a look at that and be enforcing that so that the facility cannot retaliate against individuals. So that's really important, and it's important because it applies not only to residents, but their family members and to employees.
That is so important. Everyone, Mary Jo George with us. She's from AARP Minnesota. She is the Associate State Director of Advocacy. And this new law also gives AARP more teeth to the resources that you need to fight for residents and their families.
Yes. You know, one of the big problems in the past is that for decades, residents could be arbitrarily or suddenly discharged. And what we want to make sure people do know is that they now have rights to appeal decisions that a facility might have. Because many families move their loved one into these facilities hoping that, you know, they can age in place. And so these protections are really important, too. So what we did was we did create a consumer guide that people can use to navigate some of their rights, and people can find that guide at aarp.org/MN, and it's called Know Your Rights in Assisted Living Facilities. And then I do think it's additionally it's important for people to know that they can always call the Ombuds Office. We have what we call a long-term care Ombuds Office, which acts as an advocate, and that number is 1-800-675 3591.
All right. Well, this is really great. And I just have to ask you on a personal note, how does this legislation rank with all the other advocacy work that you do for AARP?
Well, I think this is really systemic. I think this is very big and broad. And as you said, it will impact thousands of people. And so we're really proud of our work. And I know some of the discharge protections might be some of the strongest in the nation. So we were so proud of many of our members and some of the victims of abuse who really fought for this and spoke out about how we needed to improve the quality of care of vulnerable seniors in these facilities. So we're pretty proud of this work. I think a very important right is protections against arbitrary and sudden discharges. I think for decades, many people may have been forced to move out of their facility because the facility would say they could no longer meet their needs. But clearly, families and the residents believed they were moving into the facility thinking that they were going to age in place and live there until they no longer could. And so under the new law, what happens is residents will have the ability to appeal a decision by a facility, and they can take that appeal to an independent third-party person, so they won't have to go to court, but it's through our Office of Administrative Hearings in the state administration, and they'll be able to appeal the case. And so that'll give residents and their families a level playing field with these facilities. If it is determined that somebody has to move out, then the facility has to provide you with a coordinated transfer to a safe place. You know, unfortunately, we heard horror stories of people being moved out to homeless shelters, or were sleeping in their cars. So we need to do away with that sort of practice, and this new law will protect residents better.
Mary Jo George, I can't thank you enough for being with us, the Associate State Director of Advocacy on New Beginnings, and we look forward to talking to you again real soon.
Great. Thank you, Freddie. We appreciate all the work you do.
It's our pleasure, and you're listening to New Beginnings.
This is the Real Possibilities Update, your guide to all the exciting things that are happening with AARP in the Twin Cities. Because if you don't think real possibilities in the Twin Cities when you think AARP, well, then you don't know ARP. You see, AARP is hosting free Movies for Grown-Ups screenings at theaters across the metro. They're helping protect families from identity theft and scams with the AARP Fraud Watch Network. And AARP
volunteers are helping people in need complete their tax returns free of charge. So whether you're a caregiver, someone who's trying to save for retirement, or if you just want to save money and connect with friends and neighbors for fun at local events, then AARP has resources for you. Get to know AARP and see all the real possibilities right here in the Twin Cities at aarp.org/twincities.
You would do anything to protect the ones you love. Help make sure your child is protected from dangerous diseases by getting them vaccinated. Talk to your doctor or clinic today about the vaccines your child needs and the safety measures they have in place to protect your family during COVID-19. Go to health.mn.us/immunize for more. This message powered by the Minnesota Department of Health.
Minneapolis Public Housing is right now on New Beginnings with Freddie Bell.
Hi again, everyone. We're back with New Beginnings, and joining us now is Kitty Harris. She is the property manager for the Cora McCorvey Health and Wellness Center. Kitty Harris and New Beginnings has had a long relationship, and we really value it. And we value you, Kitty. Thank you for being with us this morning.
Good morning, Freddie. How are you?
Unbelievable. And I know that you're really excited about what you're going to share with us this morning about getting the community involved in helping each other. That's how I see it. You've got a big blood drive underway.
Yes, we are so excited to once again be partnering with the Red Cross to host another blood drive over at Cora McCorvey Health and Wellness Center. And this one is going to be on Wednesday, August the 25th from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. This is about our third or maybe even fourth year that we've been able to host blood drives at our center, and we're just so happy to continue to provide this vital resource for the community.
So this is really big because if I recall, if there was a blood drive last year, it did not take place. Is that right?
Yeah, we had a couple that didn't take place. I think we only had missed one because of COVID. Mm-hmm. Because one of the things that I definitely want to commend the Red Cross staff on is they do a great job, even in the pandemic, of having safe measures in place to still host the blood drives. I think we only missed one, but we were able to still execute the other ones for that last year for Cora McCorvey Health and Wellness Center.
Well, I know this is a big, big thing. Tell us from your perspective how a blood drive really helps our communities.
So the blood drive serves multiple purposes. It has the blood on hand for the critical need when patients are needing transfusions during the surgeries that we might have. And we know we have lots of issues with violence, unfortunately, that goes on in our community where blood might be needed. But also for the African-American community, when you have African-American donors, our blood can be used to help treat patients who are suffering from sickle cell anemia. And so it's very important to be able to have that type of blood on hand to provide that treatment for those patients. And now with the COVID-19 virus, they have found that people who have had COVID and recovered have antibodies in their blood that can also help patients. And so there's now another purpose that our blood is serving. So everybody that gives blood, their blood is tested for the presence of COVID-19 viral loads. And they will let you know if you had a past exposure, if you have the antibodies, and those can be used for life-saving measures as well.
The Cora McCorvey Health and Wellness Center was there. You were among the leaders in setting up testing and getting the vaccines into the arms of people in our community.
Yes, we definitely were excited to be able to provide that COVID-19 vaccine and now again be able to provide these blood drives to continue to have this, and along with our other partnership with our on-site partner, the Lau Center, to do breast cancer on a monthly basis. And so, again, we're just trying to make sure that the Cora McCorvey Health and Wellness Center stays at the forefront of these needed services that are in the community and providing opportunities, whether it be for screening, vaccines, or donations. All three of these mechanisms give us an opportunity to provide for our community.
Was this a part of the vision, if you remember, of Cora McCorvey when the Wellness Center was first stood up?
Absolutely. One of her visions for the center was so that we were a healthy hub for the community, and we were a resource for the community where people could come and know that this is a place that I can not only give, but receive and share. And so I think we definitely make sure to maintain that and have that at the forefront of everything we do and everybody that we partner with.
All right. Kitty Harris, I can't thank you enough for being with us. And how can our audience reach you if they are looking for more information about the blood drive or anything else at the Cora McCorvey Health and Wellness
Center? For the blood drive, they can go to redcrossblood.org and enter in the sponsor code MPHA, and you can just sign up right there. Again, appointments are for all 10 a.m. all the way to 4 p.m. And everybody that comes in and donates during the month of August gets an opportunity to get a free Apple Music subscription, because the Red Cross is always trying to incentivize people to participate. So again, redcrossblood.org. Sponsor code is MPHA. If you don't have access to a computer, you can give me a call at 612-344-2221, and I can register you directly as well.
All right. Kitty, I can't thank you enough for being with us. And New Beginnings continues right now. As New Beginnings continues, we now take you to the spirituality portion of our program, where we introduce the senior minister of Unity South Twin Cities, the Reverend James Stacy. We now join Reverend Stacy with a program already in progress.
What are good ideas that we haven't even attempted yet? How do we broaden our reach? How do we draw more people into our family? Many such ideas. And we worked on visioning and creating beautifully crafted, I wish I could claim credit, but I can't, beautifully crafted statements about different aspects of our ministry so that all of you would be able to align with these clear statements of what we're about. And of course, we can always build on them further. But what I want to do now for our time of meditation is to turn within, because each one of you that call Unity South home have a role to play. You can make a difference. I was so grateful our daily word today had that wonderful, clear affirmation. I do what is mine to do, and I release the rest. Because as your board well knows, they and our volunteers, even me, can't do it all. So helping us all to see what is our gift to share, what is our role or our part to play in this Unity South community, and then the ability to let go of things that other people can do better than we ourselves, to give more people in our Unity South family an opportunity to step up and give their gift. So let's begin. I invite you to close your eyes if you choose, as we turn within and take a little visioning journey. Visioning goes back to the very essence and beginning of our unity movement. The third of our five principles says, thoughts held in mind produce after their kind. Charles Fillmore said, all things begin in mind. You hold an idea as a seed thought. It begins to grow within you until you take action in the outer world to bring that idea, that truth, into form and expression to benefit your life and others. Thoreau said it beautifully, encouraging you to walk confidently in the direction of your dreams. Charles Fillmore advised his listeners, if you want more peace, greater prosperity, greater vitality in your life, then do the things that make for peace, prosperity, vitality. Catch your dream and walk consistently toward it. The great teacher, very popular in Unity, Emmett Fox, taught that you first create a mental equivalent in mind before the outcome can express. You see it inwardly and let it grow. And because I like Broadway lyrics, I couldn't help but think of South Pacific. Talk about the things you'd like to do. You got to have a dream. If you don't have a dream, how are you going to have a dream come true? So we're going to catch that. In our Unity teachings, a powerful creative tool for visioning is contained in the 12 power model. Again, earlier members of our church blessed us with these windows as a constant reminder of the 12 powers. So today, in this meditation, I invite you to choose from this palette of powers, just three: faith, imagination, and order. We begin by faith. Are we convinced that ideas, dreams, visions have a power of growth? That if we hold them consistently in mind, warm them with our feeling, that they will produce. We hold that truth by faith. By imagination, we can see in the mind's eye how ideas can take form, shape, color. How can they express the creative power of your mind? And by the power of divine order, we see the progressive, strategic development of these ideas. First, there's a seed, and then the growth of the plant. And then the bloom, the crowning glory of the plant comes. And then it turns to seed, so that the whole cycle of plant life can begin again. So with this in mind, I invite you, think of one, not a lot, one dream you have for this ministry. What is something that really speaks to you, that you would like to see develop in a greater way at Unity South? Perhaps our youth education, expansion of music, social events, connection of one another through support groups. Many options. Choose one. Hold it in your mind. Do you believe in the creative power that can bring this cherished idea in mind into expression? Now elaborate a little bit. What would that idea look like? How might it show up and actually happen here at Unity South? Put some flesh on the bones. Give it some color. Sculpt it in your mind. And now the important step. What small, sweet step can you take in the direction of that dream? What is yours to do? And leave the rest to others. get an idea. How could you help that idea you're holding? Help move it forward for the benefit of all of Unity South.
You just heard a message coming from the Reverend James Stacy, the Senior Minister of Unity South in the Twin Cities. More information is found at their website at unitysouth.org.
Did you know that now you can see and hear Sunday morning services from Unity South Twin Cities? Search Unity South Twin Cities online and Facebook and catch the live stream Sunday mornings at 10:30 on Facebook.com.
If you are ready to reinvent, recalibrate, or retool your career, Ripple Connects can help. That's RippleConnects.com. We work one-on-one with our clients in a safe, collaborative fashion designed to significantly improve the likelihood of landing the ideal engagement. Take control of your job search and create your ideal future. Engage with Ripple Connects, where we turn candidates into contenders. For more information, RippleConnects.com.
Thanks for listening. Thanks for calling. Thanks for making us a part of your weekend on New Beginnings. For Joe McKenzie, this is Freddie Bell reminding you that every day is a chance for a new beginning. We'll see you next week and online. Goodbye, everybody.